From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning, happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 11:30, we'll speak with the restaurant owner about what it's like keeping her business afloat after losing both of her parents to COVID-19. That happens at 11:33. But right now, let's get to the show.
And in this morning's headlines, as you heard from Aaron's newscast, the man accused of hitting Black Lives Matter protesters on I-5 with his car, killing one of them, is now charged with reckless driving, vehicular assault, and vehicular homicide. 24-year-old Summer Taylor died of her injuries. Summer's mom says she was worried something like this could happen.
I knew no matter how much I might want to ask them to stay safe during protests, they would just say, "Mom, if you are Black in this country, it isn't even safe to be alive."
27-year-old Dawit Kalite is being held on $1.2 million bail. His attorney, John Henry Brown, says he is remorseful. He had no political motivations. He allegedly told jail staffers that he was withdrawing from the narcotic Percocet, and police found what they believe was crystal meth in his car.
Off the record, I have been waiting for the details on this, and I don't know if it was on purpose or not. I don't know that. But I was saying that I was willing to bet that this person was heavily under the influence of something. I did say that, and I'm just wondering how much of that was in his system. Not just that, but I wonder truthfully what was his motive, if he really meant to do it. It's first unfortunate that they lost their lives. Summer losing her life in this case is really unfortunate.
Absolutely. And there was so much speculation before and we're still learning more, right? Because if in fact he was, because apparently he did not test positive for being under the influence of something. Uh-huh. But, you know, he was going the wrong way. He was speeding, didn't look like he was slowing down, and then, hit him in an area where it had been blocked off. So a couple of different things. One is that, I don't know if you realize this, but since George Floyd's killing on Memorial Day, drivers have attacked people more than 65 times.
Jeez.
And there are 7 incidents in which law enforcement officers were actually at the wheel. This is according to the New York Times.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's that. The other thing, so for me, there's a little bit of relief in that, okay, this was not seemingly intentional.
Right.
It still does not bring back the life of Summer or help the other protester who is still in the hospital.
Absolutely not. Now, I do want to go back to, and I don't like doing this because I don't want to get away from the fact that someone died in this, and I don't want to sound like, yeah, I told you so or anything. But I do want to go back. When we had the conversation before, you know, we were talking about the fact they were having protests on I-5. And one of the things that we talked about, Ursula, is we talked about, like, not just someone to potentially go on there and do it on purpose, but there are times where people go the wrong way, being intoxicated, under the influence of something, being reckless on the freeway with no intention necessarily of hurting someone. They're just out of it. They're drunk. They shouldn't be behind the wheel in the first place. And these are the things we talked about and why it was so important that no one should be out there protesting on I-5. That was the conversation that we had had before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But can I just say one other thing?
Yes.
Which is, I know that there are more people now speaking out and saying, you know, you can't say that Summer deserved this, or no. Hey, your parents taught you don't play on the freeway, that kind of thing. I'm still seeing so many of those comments, and I just ask people don't lose your humanity in trying to make your point.
We had a very nasty one that sent. Did you see the one that was sent to us today?
I don't look at our text. Remember, I don't.
No,
look.
No.
Oh, yes, the one that answered. Yes. Well, I didn't think of it. It was. I didn't think it was. Oh, the other one. Yes. You know, we get all sorts. I mean, we're just bombarded. You know, yeah.
Well, I'm going to read it.
Okay.
I'm going to read what was sent to us today. Morning, Gene Ursula. This is in regards to the splat meme. I laughed out loud when I read this. I loved it. Yes, the timing was off and perhaps in bad taste, but it was to the point. And if splat saves a life, makes someone think twice about freeway dancing, then splat it is. Life matters.
That's horrible.
Like these are the kind of things that we have get sent to us. Like that is absolutely horrible.
Even if you think that was this the dumbest move or whatever it is, a life was lost. How is that funny? How is that funny? Or even how was the meme funny? Yeah, that I just don't get. And I think that's where people lose it, when you can just type away and then lose your humanity. And if that was your own family member, even if they made a mistake, to think that it's humorous that someone lost a life, or hey, they deserved it. You know, unless you're talking about the death penalty, which is a whole nother conversation. But I don't understand that. And it still continues to happen. The health department has now forced Duke's Chowder House on Alki Beach to close down because of the ongoing COVID situation. But there is an outbreak there in that particular restaurant. And apparently the restaurant was not following the state safety protocols. Health officer Dr. Jeff Duchin says if you ate there recently, you don't have to quarantine, but you should monitor for any COVID symptoms for the next 14 days. Another restaurant on Alki Beach is also closed now, Grill Bird Teriyaki, because a staff member tested positive for COVID. And the whole staff now is getting tested.
Now, here is the part where the honor system comes into play. There are those that have gone to eat at Duke's Chowder House on Alki, and there are those that have gone to that teriyaki place there on Alki. Are you going to be honest about it? Are you going to do the right things? Are you not going to go to your job like you're not supposed to? Are you not going to go to maybe the barbershop or the nail salon? So this is where, as a country, we have to fight this together, because if they're not honest about it, then the potential of cases, they spike.
Right. And I will say, a couple of weeks ago, I was on Alki, and I love going there, although it's much harder to get there now. But I met with a friend, and we walked along the beach, and some restaurants were trying to close after being open after being closed for so long. And it was a sunny day. And, you know, I started thinking to myself, did I go in any restaurants? No, I did not. But we do have to be honest. I mean, if I come down with something, I've got to be honest. We all have to be honest, because that's the only way we're going to get some kind of control of this, too. Republican State Senator Steve O'Bannon is now introducing legislation that would essentially prohibit cities in our state from allowing another CHOP to occupy city streets or create places where emergency responders can't respond to calls.
Do we need legislation for that? Do we need legislation where we stop the citizens from stopping emergency responders from not being able to respond to calls? I'm confused.
Well, I actually think it's a good idea, because CHOP was allowed to happen. And so under this bill, the city would lose some state funding that has to do with assistance for law enforcement and criminal justice services. The bill would also make the city subject to a $10,000 per day fine. And it would also make it legally easier for property owners to sue the city that withdrew its police services and caused damages. The city of Seattle is going to face huge lawsuits. It's going to be paying out a lot of money. Yeah. There were lives that were lost because CHOP happened. I mean, you can argue that, but I mean, there was violence there, and there was no ability to control it. Yep. So if we need legislation to keep that, I mean, I think to say that CHOP can happen again, I think that would be setting a bad precedence. Amazon is now joining big retailers like Walmart and Target, as well as Nike and Dick's Sporting Goods, in removing Washington Redskins merchandise from their websites. In a note to sellers, Amazon says it would remove the products featuring the team, including jerseys, T-shirts, and jewelry. And this notice explained that sellers are going to have 48 hours to take down any of those products that have been flagged by the company.
Good. And the only way to create real change in our country is to affect and impact the bottom line. When money is withheld or stopped or slowed down, It is weird how people want to, quote, think things through, or let's get down to the bottom of things. In this case, Ursula, FedEx said that's where they play their games at their stadium. FedEx has the naming rights. They're saying, hey, yeah, I think you need to change the name. And Nike says, yeah, I think you need to change the name. And now Amazon say you can do what you want to, but we're not selling any of your things anymore. Hey, Ursula, you think there's going to be a name change?
After so many years, I mean, companies that resisted are doing that. I mean, we've talked about Aunt Jemima. We've talked about Uncle Ben's. We've talked about all these different companies that, you know, this has been brought up before. And I think that there finally is enough of a push and a threat of losing more dollars. I mean, there's a threat of people saying also, you know what? You do that, I'm not going to support the Redskins.
Good for these companies for doing it. But what took you so long? And by the way, this is not on Washington Redskins owner Dan Snyder, all on his shoulders. The NFL cannot escape the fact that they are allowing a team to continue having this name. I understand it's an independently owned team. The league has a ton of leverage over the teams in the league. They should be doing something, and I'm hearing nothing from them.
Chef, you're right, but I want to also say what took you so long can be applied towards everything. There are things here locally or personally that have made me say, what took so long? Oh, I know what happened. They told us the coronavirus attacks underlying issues.
You're going to keep repeating that, and it's so true. Okay, here's a question, though, because I want to just explore another point of view.
Okay.
What happens? So for someone who is a diehard Redskins fan, mm-hmm. What happens? What changes for you if the name is changed? How does that impact your experience? Because I just don't have that. I'm not that invested in it.
Okay. Let me be real for a second. I don't know how it affects them, but I do know that it has this conversation about the Washington Redskins, the Cleveland Indians, whatever, the Warrior, all these different, some of these names, this has been a discussion. This didn't just start today. It has been going on for 20 plus years about this conversation. So I'd assume that they thought that it was going to probably go away, and it really did. But if it wasn't for the coronavirus, we wouldn't be talking about this.
That's right.
Now.
Well, coronavirus... George Floyd.
George Floyd doesn't happen without the coronavirus. And we've talked about that as well. I think people go on with their day, they have their coffee, because Philando Castillo didn't happen, Eric Gardner didn't happen, and so many stories before them didn't happen. But for some reason, it was just the perfect storm. So to answer your question, Ursula, I just think this is the climate that we're in. And I think that those people, most of the time, they're really attached to the team and they're attached to the sport. And you'd be amazed that not many of them are really attached to the nickname of the team. They're probably as attached to the nickname of the team as they are to, let's say, the type of uniform.
Mm. I will say this, why it's more likely that this is going to happen also. Mm-hmm. The team also wants to build a new stadium and return to the DC city limits, mm-hmm. but local leaders are saying to get that name change would be a condition of any potential stadium deal. So if you want that new stadium, you're going to have to agree to changing your name.
Yep.
So there's the money.
One more.
Loan sharks are going to have an easier time taking advantage of their prey. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has dropped a plan to impose new limits on payday lending. This decision hands the industry a major victory by killing off those tighter rules that it spent years lobbying to overturn. So these proposed rules would have been the first change in an industry that makes $30 billion a year in high interest, short-term loans, often to already people who are struggling.
Ursula, I've done payday loans before. Have you ever done one before?
I have scraped, and I have both had to borrow money from people, and I've also lent people money. So I know how tough it is. I haven't had to go to payday loans.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know what I was thinking. And those listening right now, if you've done it before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. like you just think, oh, okay, well, you know, just until I get my next payday, I'll go ahead and do this. Ursula, when I did that, I was so hooked on it because I couldn't get out of it because I didn't make that much money. And so every single time I had to borrow again and again and again and again, I could not get out of that. That's how. So there's a lot of people who don't have that much cash flow, extra. Some people don't even have an extra $20 a month.
I know.
Right? So any type of a failure of not staying on task will rope you into this situation. And, man, it is tough. And so my heart breaks for this continuing to happen.
Well,
and that's what it is. A bunch of loan sharks.
Yeah, these rules. I'll say two things. And Chef wants to say something. So these rules would have saved consumers more than $7 billion a year in fees alone. Man. So anyone who doesn't know, I mean, the interest fees are just enormous, right? So you can't get out of that cycle. The other thing I will say is that in the Philippines, the richest people I knew, our family knew, they were loan sharks. And they were living high on the hog.
Chef?
These short-term payday lenders, they should be illegal. Absolutely 100% illegal. They charge annual interest rates between 400 to 600%. I've taken them out in the past before when I was struggling. I didn't want to ask for help, so I tried to go the payday lending route. But these are absolutely vultures on communities. You go to poor communities, you can't find a grocery store. You'll find 20 payday lenders. Ugh. These should be illegal. I mean, in the Bible, in the old times, they did not allow interest rates that were above a certain percent. It's called usury. It's immoral. It's wrong. They should be illegal. Get rid of them.
Now, Sweets was a loan shark that used to come to the barbershop down on 47th in Michigan. And Fluky Stokes would be in there as well. But this is the barbershop that I would go to with my dad and everything. And Sweets was the loan shark that lent people, black people in the neighborhood, money. But it wasn't as bad as this. This is just legal. Being a loan shark, and it's criminal.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, at least in those situations, the people that were getting money from Sweets, these are people that couldn't qualify anything in the bank, so he was the guy that was doing that. But it's crazy. Coming up next, we hear from someone who is trying to stay afloat, running their business, even though both of her parents passed away from COVID-19. She'll be our guest next. Is Gene Ursula.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the Gene Ursula Show. Still ahead, we will be wrapping up our show with your texts and feedback and, of course, words to live by. But right now, we have invited a very special guest on to our show to share her story. Her name is Angie Okamoto, and my family has been a regular customer of her family's restaurant, the Kona Kitchen, for so many years. And my son actually worked at their Linwood restaurant last summer. And I was devastated when I learned that both of Angie's parents died of COVID within a few days of each other. And Angie, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be here. And thank you for bringing me on.
Well, I feel like you have such an important story to share for so many reasons. And I've told you privately, but I also want to say publicly, because when I learned and when we all learned as a community that your parents had died, I will say that so many people reached out and so many people were devastated. And I know that you saw and felt the love from the community because your family is that loved. So, but again, I want to just say my sincere condolences.
I really appreciate that, and definitely I was completely overwhelmed by the support from the community, and it definitely helped initially just getting through the time and knowing that so many people cared for us and the business and my parents, and yeah, so it's been amazing.
And I just want to share with our listeners, too, that not only did you lose your parents, but you also have the challenge of running two restaurants, family-owned restaurants. And then on top of that, your daughter, which I just learned this morning, is going to be going to college. We're hoping.
Yes. You know, I think the hardest part is that my mom was you know, my business partner, along with my husband as well. But she definitely was on site and there, the face, you know, of Kona. So, you know, having to take over, you know, more responsibilities, dealing with my own grief. So it's been very challenging. And then, you know, also to protect our staff, who's our family, you know, our employees, our customers. We like to call it our Kona Ohana, which means family. And so being mindful and protecting everybody, keeping everyone safe, it's been very challenging.
Again, thank you for coming on to the show. Your daughter, tell us about your concern about
the daughter. Well, she's actually, I would say she has been more concerned even than me. You know, I want her to have that college experience, but she, you know, is even more concerned about going there just because she's experienced that people don't take this seriously and that they act very irresponsibly. And so for her, she's kind of scared to live in the dorms and, you know, be on campus. And if you're having to be social distance and wearing masks and not being able to interact and not going to classes, you know, then you're not, you know, getting that college experience as well.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that her daughter would be going to University of Washington, which we just found out is going to be 80% online at least this fall. How does that make
right.
you feel?
Well, and that's, again, I'm so proud of my daughter for thinking about these things. But one of the comments that she made was, you know, why would I want to pay tuition at those prices, you know, when it's the same online education as, you know, anywhere else, community college or whatever, you know, so it's that debate, you know, you're paying for not only the education, but the interactions and the experience, right? So what do you choose for this year if it's all going to be online anyway?
As we are having this discussion about this global pandemic on a daily basis, and I thought I'd ask you how you're able to have these conversations and how are you able to have them in a calm way, considering it feels like sometimes there's so much argument over mask and whether or not it's real what's going on. And then they throw out numbers. But we all know that attached to those numbers are real people, are families such as
right.
yours as well. How are you able to handle and have conversations about what we're going through?
Well, and I think that's what we're all facing, even prior to what happened to my parents. You know, we took it seriously. You know, we would wash our hands, and every time you do anything, and you try to be aware of, you know, taking those safety precautions. But, you know, you might kind of laugh about it. I mean, in the very beginning, you're like, oh, better wash my hands. I don't want to get COVID, you know, or whatever. But, yeah, when it actually hits home and someone is close as a family member, it really then becomes real. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that haven't experienced this tragedy. On the one hand, it happening to someone like my mother who was, you know, had this community around her, you know, mm-hmm. I guess the only positive is that maybe it will hit home to a lot of people and that maybe they will all take it seriously. And that's, you know, the only message I can send out there.
You know, you say it so beautifully for someone who has dealt with such a tragedy, and for them to pass, you know, so close to each other and to see that there are still people who don't take it seriously. But I know just from having gone into your restaurant, I still continue to do pickup.
Thank you.
How do you guys handle the business side? So, you know, and you've got, and you just launched your Lynnwood restaurant. How does that go?
Been open about a year. And that's why we're taking our time. You know, initially we closed for a week just to sort of figure out what we need to do, get all your systems in place. And then, you know, as we enter this, phase two, the dine-in, you know, we want to make sure that everything is safe. I don't want what's happening to Duke's, you know, to happen to us as well. And I don't want to open and close, go back and forth. You guys talked earlier on your show about employees. That's another issue, is trying to get employees to come back to work and then ensuring that they have a safe environment to work in. So there's a lot of things that we need to do. Right now we're trying to prepare the spaces, create floor plans and a way to control crowds, minimizing the amount of people that come in, et cetera. It's a lot of work, and it takes time to prepare. So we're trying to do it right. We're not just going to rush into it and then risk something as tragic happening to somebody else.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on. But before you go, you're so calm and like you're so pretty. Like you're making me even at peace as I listen to you. How do you go about that? Like personally for you, how do you do that?
I think that's just maybe that's just how I'm built, my personality. But I mean, trust me, I have my good days and bad. The support of the community definitely helps me through those bad days. But, you know, all we can do is continue to move forward, try to get through this together. And, you know, if I can send out a message, I think my most recent message with the things that have been going on, I've been telling my family and employees, I think at this point, you know, we can't control what people do as they get back out and start hanging out and going out to eat. But what we can do is just pretend that everybody we run into has it. And if you just pretend like they have it and you try to stay away from, you know, keep your distance, keep your masks on, you know, protect yourself. And then hopefully we can try to minimize the spread.
Angie, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, I'm not getting paid to say this. I will just say I love your restaurant. I mean, I'm still eating the Mac salad from like 4 days ago. But,
I miss you guys. I miss, that's the one thing that I miss the most is interacting with all of our Kona family.
Yeah, but they'll come back. But thank you so much. And again, you know, hang in there. You've got it all different ways, and you're handling it beautifully.
Well,
thanks
so much, Ursula. And G, it was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Kona Restaurant, huh, Ursula?
Kona Kitchen.
Kona Kitchen.
Yeah, Seattle and Lynnwood.
I've never had it before.
So good. Hawaiian
and by the
food,
way,
yum.
You said Ursula Max.
Ursula will have to bring you.
Yes.
She'll have to bring you to karaoke when we can eventually reopen that.
Yes. I took Dory there for court karaoke.
Wait
it's
a minute.
A great karaoke, too.
Does Ursula sing Earth, Wind, and Fire at karaoke?
Well, she sure does.
Yeah. That's good. That's Angie from Kona Kitchen. Make sure you go and check that place out. Coming up next, your texts, your feedback, and Ursula's words to live by with Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's G and Ursula. It's G and Ursula, everybody. Happy Thursday to all of you. It is now time for your texts, your feedback, and words to live by. Before we get done with this, Ursula, I have a favor to ask of you and Chef.
What's that?
I want to do a show where there is zero prep, where we just get on the show and we just talk about whatever is the topic. Because here's why I'm saying
it could go really well or really badly. I'll say that.
Well, at least it'll be really real.
Yeah.
Because the one thing I gotta say, my favorite part to the G and Ursula show is when there's times and segments when it was not planned.
Yes. When we say we're throwing an audible.
Yeah. I love those. But go ahead, Ursula.
No, I love it. Chef doesn't usually like us to read comments when we do feedback right now, which we're doing. He doesn't usually like us to read the stuff at the top of the line, but I'm going to read a couple. And usually the top of the line means people are saying nice things about us, but I want to just read a couple of things. One says, God bless Chef. You three are like siblings. Listening to you guys, I can imagine you as kids in the same family. The bickering is hilarious. You guys make my day. Love you all.
It's pretty real, though. Just so you guys know, that bickering goes on off the air, too.
It does, too.
Like, we hold each other. Like, seriously? The three of us hold each other accountable.
Yes.
Unbelievably so. Like, there is no, okay, no, you guys have. There's real fights, y'all.
But we get through it.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when it comes to should the extra $600 on unemployment checks be extended, 206 says, so I applied for the stimulus check, my unemployment back in February. You're saying there's going to be a second stimulus check and it's going to be coming out now? I never even got the first one and I filed and it says I've been approved. I'm just waiting. I never did get my unemployment. See, that's the problem. Yeah. I didn't do anything wrong, this person says, but still waiting for that money.
253 says the $600, the extra $600 is not fair. People at home safe are making more money than us working and risking our health. Is that fair, Ursula?
Well, there's a point there. I mean, again, and you and I talked a while back about premium pay. I know, you always like to throw those little digs in there. You think I'm going to move on. No. We're not even getting to any of these. Okay, and we got a lot. Okay, cancel culture. 253. Ursula, you're so right. Had a few family members and good friends over on the 4th. I cannot say a word, even to them. Not only are our minds in quarantine, but our thoughts are too. Keep your physical bodies at home, your thoughts in your head. Double isolation. It's very depressing.
253 makes a very good point, and it keeps it simple. Deleting social media was the best thing I've done in a long time.
It's toxic.
Hey, all you guys complaining, cancel culture. Delete your social media, and you won't have a problem.
Yeah, it's not just Facebook, it's all of it.
Yeah, say what you want to say in your house, like Donald Sterling, and then his girlfriend recorded it, and then he lost the Clippers.
Oh, whoops.
You know what, Ursula? Let's get to your words to live by, because I am completely off the rails.
Okay, so we talk about trying to find common ground. Finding common ground is a great strategy for handling disagreement, but it's not always easy to do, because you have to be more willing to find resolution than you're willing to be right. You have to be more willing to solve the problem than you are anxious to win that argument. Mm.
Ursula, you always cleanse the palate with that. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Chef, does Ursula sing Earth, Wind, and Fire at karaoke?
She sure does.
Yeah!
That's us in the background right there.
Go ahead, Ursula.
I've forgotten the words. Enjoy the real thing here.
All right. Andrew?
I've been to Kona Kitchen in so long, I can't believe it.
Well, go back. Food still is good.
I got to tell you, somebody texted in talking about the guava cake. And I was just like, oh, by the way, Ursula, we'll talk about this tomorrow. But just so you know, your boy is on day 5 of being a vegan.
What?
Day 5. We'll talk about this tomorrow. I've got to take you guys through it all, and I'll tell you what happened. But I'm on day 5. Hey, it's time to go. We appreciate you guys for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Love you for that. Be good. We can touch the world.